First Thessalonians chapter number 4. Paul writing here, how many of you believe this is inspired by the Holy Spirit? He said, I beseech you, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that you receive of us how you ought to, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Say, please God. In other words, there's a walk that, you know, that God expects us to walk, and it pleases Him when we walk that way. How we ought to walk and to please God. We know faith pleases God. There's a lot more to faith, though, than what we realize sometimes. But how we ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 2, in other words, he's connecting what he just said to this that he's saying, for you know what commandment we gave you by our Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So this was the commandment to live the sanctified life, to walk in a sanctified way. That's what he was talking about. This is what pleases God, our sanctification. Sanctification means separation from the world, separation from the world to God. And, of course, that includes his ways and so many things. But this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Uh-oh, he went ahead and started meddling. That you should abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Now, the King James says possess his vessel. The Amplified, I don't have it right in front of me. Somebody might have it. But it says something about manage your body or control your body or something like that. Possess, control, and manage your body, right? Possess his vessel. Every man might know how to possess or control or manage his body in sanctification. And then what's that next word? And then what's the next word? Honor. What's this conference called? Men of honor. Men of honor. Well, there's more to honor than just, you know, being valiant and rescuing a damsel in distress, you know. Amen. This verse is saying that cleanness, purity, sexually, being clean is honorable. Amen. All that shouting makes me want to go ahead and preach. That every man should know how to possess or control his body, manage his body. See, it's our body. God didn't say he would control it for us. We control our body. Every one of us should know how to control or possess our body in sanctification and honor. So he's telling us that from the context, you can see he's talking about, you know, not living in fornication. And, you know, being sexually clean and so forth. He's telling us that that is worthy of honor from God, or that God honors that. Well, I want to have the honor of God on my life, don't you? I mean, there's probably only one thing worse than dying, and that's living without honor. And if you read, and we're going to talk about some of the things we've talked in the past, you know, I kept checking my heart. Lord, are we going the right direction? This is just the way we always go, except for one of these conferences, I think. I kept checking my heart. I couldn't get anything else. I was trying to work up something else. So if you don't like it, blame God. But, you know, when we were in the past sessions and years gone by, we've looked oftentimes and might do it again some this conference. You know, Proverbs chapter number 2, Proverbs chapter number 4, or 5, 6, 7, and 23. David, well, that's Solomon writing, but he was talking about his father. David talked to him about sex, you know, and taught him about sex. I mean, the place where to learn about sex is not on the street or on the internet. I mean, there might be some good things on the internet about sex, but Christian things, but you know, really, the best sex book in the world is the Bible. Yeah. Amen. People talk about sexual education. You know, what do they call it? Sex ed at the schools. I look at Brother Andre. He's a teacher in the public schools. Is it called sex ed? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they get to talking about sex. And they talk about it to kids. I mean, real young, right? Junior high. And, I mean, I don't know what they're saying nowadays, but I know most people's minds are perverted. If your mind's not in the Word about sex, your mind is perverted. When we do premarital counseling, we cover a lot of subjects, but one thing we cover is sex. We tell them, look, if you're old enough to get married, you're old enough to talk about sex. And they sit there and blush, and we just get graphic, you know, my wife and I. And we get real blunt. I mean, they're going to get a sex education right, you know, they're going to hear it right. And then I said, I got a book I'm going to give you. I said, this is the only book, of course, the Bible. We always teach them from the Bible, but then people write books on the, based on the Bible. I said, I've got a book I'm going to give you about sex, and but it's the only book that, I've found that doesn't have some of the world in it about sex. It's just the Bible. It's just clean. But, you know, most I've even looked at Christian books, you know, on sex and had to put it down because it was perverted. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Amen. And because there's just a lot of the world. We live in a cultural soup that's perverted. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And if all you got to do is, in order to get that wrong thinking in your mind, there's a dead fly, is to just exist and don't get your mind in the Word. So, but the best book is the Bible. The best book on sex is the Bible. Amen. Now, in Psalm 19, verse number 8, it talks about His Word is pure. His Word is pure. And how many of you know if we'll meditate in it, in fact, in order to stay pure sexually, you'll have to meditate in the Word. Because it is pure, and as the fact that it's pure means it will purify. It will purify our minds. Our bodies, the Bible talks about being washed in the water of the Word and having our bodies washed with pure water. You know, these are all verses that we sometimes just skim over, but you know, there's unholy things in the Bible that we as believers need to be washed from. I mean, not from the things in the Bible, but washed. We need the Word to wash us from these unholy things. Amen. And so we're not going to hold anything back today. We're just going to act like, you know, we're all adults and we can handle this. That's why we don't have anybody under 13 years old in here, because we get pretty blunt. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I think sometimes in church we kind of skim the surface of things and don't really. And maybe appropriately, thank you. Maybe appropriately, we don't get real graphic in church because there's kids there, and sometimes, you know, young people and so forth, and there are just some things maybe it's appropriate not to say in the setting, certain settings. But in conferences like this, I think we ought to get more blunt so people don't misunderstand or so people don't miss what we're saying, because it's easy to hear, okay, we're to live sanctified lives, and just miss what we're saying. Well, we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty. Amen. Is that all right? Yes, down into the nitty-gritty. And since David, as a father to Solomon, talked to him about sex and staying free from in his setting, they didn't have internet, video, you know, things like that we've got today, like pornography and things. But he talked about staying. He told Solomon how to stay away from the King James says strange woman. If Amplified says the loose woman, and he taught him about the deceptions of immorality. He taught him the effects it would have on his mind and on his body, and he said, "Do this and live." In other words, stay away from these traps and these things that so much you know pervades our culture and so forth, and live. Amen. So I'm not everybody's spiritual father here, but I am spiritual father to many of you, and we're going to, as a father, just basically teach on these things again, because, you know, it didn't go away because we taught on it last, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, it still comes up. I mean, sometimes daily. You know what I'm talking about? So how you been doing? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and testify, but how you been doing in this area? You know, sometimes we think we're just humdingers until we examine ourselves in the light of the Word again, and then we're like, oh, oh my goodness. So let's do it again. What do you say? And if because these things make people uncomfortable sometimes, but you notice we left one side of the tent open and then the back of the tent open. And if you got to run out somewhere, then just go real quick. We'll just think you went to the restroom or something. Amen. 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 So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Actually, let's finish up 1 Thessalonians here. I don't think we quite finished it up. In verse number 4, every one of you should know how to control or manage his body in sanctification and honor. So this is a dignified thing to control your flesh and the appetites of your flesh. Now listen, when we talk about the flesh, we got to think about this a little bit. We're not just talking about getting into bed with a woman that's not your wife. We're talking about, how many of you have eyes? Are they, what are they? They're your flesh. Oh, Pastor, I just saw what you're saying. See, there's more to flesh than just, well, that's fleshy, getting in bed with a woman's not your wife. I mean, your eyes are your flesh. And we're going to get, one of the things I have in my heart in this conference is we're going to talk a lot about the eyes and the mind. Because there's things we need to understand about how you and I are wired, and how the devil operates, and how the flesh operates, and how that affects our soul and our minds, and so forth and so on. So he says here, sanctification of possession of vessel, or control your body in sanctification and honor, that not in verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, and some translations say the desires of lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God. You look at that. These things that sometimes Christian men are tempted with are the exact same things that we were living in before we got saved, right? And he said the reason people live that way is they don't know God. Well, we know him. You know? And so we ought to be people who, there's the difference in our lives when it comes to the moral, our moral lives. Amen. So we know him, and we found out he's holy. And we found out he's the one that has the right to say what is holy and what is not holy. And, you know, the culture doesn't tell us what's right and what's wrong. In fact, they don't have a clue. They're not honorable. They don't honor God. They don't honor the standards he put in his word. They really don't care about it. I mean, I remember just the indications. I'm sure Pastor Hernandez here can talk about things like this as well. And any pastor will be able to say something like this. We had a couple come into our church a number of years ago and got hungry for the Word and started growing spiritually. They weren't married, but they were living together. I didn't know it at the time. Well, they weren't even saved, but they got saved, came in, got saved. And just loving God and growing and so forth and so on, but still living together. And basically, one day they were talking something about it, and I was just sharing the word with them. And they said, oh, we didn't know it was wrong to live together. You know, most people in our culture don't think much about it. I mean, their mindset, bless their hearts, is, you know, well, you test drive a car before you buy it, so we ought to test each other in bed before we get married. That's their mindset, but that's just perverted. That's not Bible, you know. And so, but they, you know, they were right-hearted about it. They got married and got it right. But so I just wanted you to know that we're in a cultural soup out there that's perverted. I mean, we're not in it, but you know what I mean. It's all around us. And so, you know, we've got to uphold the standards of the Word and not bring our standards down because culture's going low. Yeah. Yeah. Culture's going low, but, you know, I'm not going to go low. I value my conscience, having a clear conscience too much. I value my fellowship with God. I value my faith working and having you know, having the blessings of God. So praise God. But how many of you know, if we're not careful, because we see so much sex and skin and stuff like that in, you know, the media and internet, TV, and, you know, just the culture around us, that we'll just, you know, sort of become, you know, numb to some things. You know what I mean? Just numb. I mean, you just kind of get used to it. If you're not careful, I'm talking about if you're not careful, and you become desensitized. And, you know, to what was at one point in our culture, I mean, you just go back to the 50s or something like that. However far back you want to go, probably back to the 50s would be a good place to look at it. And, I mean, someone was telling me the other day, you know, back in the 50s, they didn't even show a married couple in bed together in the 50s on TV. You know, I mean, portraying that on TV. And, I mean, look how far we've come. Or how far down we've gone. I'm talking about as a culture. Now, because it used to be raunchy, you know. Now it's culture. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, in their mind, it's just culture. It's just the way things are. Well, that doesn't mean that God's word changed. God's word is the same. Ministers are called today, if you read in the book of Leviticus and a couple of different places, you'll find that ministers are called to teach people what's holy and what's unholy, what's clean and what's unclean. And that includes a lot of different areas, but it includes this area of morality. And we're not just to give our ideas about it, we're to go to the Bible and look at what the Bible says about it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I mean, I'm not just talking about uncleanness, maybe like jumping in bed with somebody that's not your wife. How about just unclean thoughts? There's more to, there's a further freedom for us as men in this area beyond, you know, we're not still finding ourselves sleeping with women that aren't our wives. There's more freedom than that. There's freedom in our minds. I mean, as a teenager, I opened the door to this, and you've heard me say a number of times that whenever I was a teenager, I had a real vexed mind, and eventually got so strong that it's just like somebody was clamping a clamp down on my head. I know what oppression's like. And but God washed me and got freed me from all that. But the point I'm making is, what I don't always say is, what opened the door to that was I'm talking about pornography. You know what I'm talking about? And that thing opened the door for oppression that was, I could feel it physically on my head. And I never slept with a woman before my wife and I got married or anything like that, but I was still bound. You know what I'm talking about? I was bound in my mind. I mean, the images that I put before my eyes were burnt like a brand on my brain. And those things were tormenting me. I mean, hour to hour. It wasn't every now and then. It was just a constant torment. And so there's freedom from that. You know what I'm talking about? There's freedom from thinking about, let's put it this way, lusting. There's freedom from the torment of lust, you know, day in, day out. There's freedom from that. I don't think God wants us just to, you know, restrain from the actual act of sex with somebody that's not our marriage, not our wife, but He wants us actually free in our minds. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're not going to flow with the cultural drift. You know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of perversion out there. What was once, you know, real raunchy, I guess is the word you might want to use, is now called sexy or, you know, just culture or something like that. But we got to uphold the standard of the word. Amen? Amen? A lot of Christians are living so close to the world and the darkness of the world that they don't realize really that they've drifted towards Sodom. You remember Lot? You know, Because if our minds aren't constantly washed in the water of the Word as men, we'll actually be living over there next to Sodom in our minds. And just harassed. Amen. Some of you looking at him, you're real innocent. I know. How many of you know if by cultural drift we drift over towards Sodom like Lot, then the enemy's going to be able to easily pull a Lot on us. Remember what happened to Lot? He ended up living right in it. And then whenever that king came and destroyed or stole all the people out of the city of Sodom, you remember Lot was taken away with them. You know what I'm talking about? It's easy to think, well, I can handle it. I'll just hold it in this realm of what I'm looking at on the internet. Well, we'll address that one too. Amen. Now, you remember Romans 12:2. I'm just giving you some things here to get started. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's talking about the area of, because remember, the battle for our spirits, when we got born again, the battle for our spirits was won. Jesus became the Lord of our spirits. We became a new creation. And we're, the Bible says in Ephesians, we were created in this new creation. We were created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the nature of that inner man, of our inner man. We got saved. And so that's the inward man. But God's telling us in Romans 12:2 that we've got to do something with our bodies and our minds. And one thing he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So one of the things that means is not adopting the world's standards. Being conformed means taking the world's standards. The world's standards are, well, you know, it's okay to look at it, you know. The world preaches relativity or situational ethics. You know, well, if you're looking at it on the internet, you're not hurting anybody. Well, you actually are. I'll tell you how. You're hurting yourself. The one thing you're hurting. You're hindering your own conscience and you're actually destroying your own soul. When I say soul, I'm talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. I mean, you're putting things in there we're gonna see some verses here. I don't know if we'll get to it this morning or whenever we'll get to it, but that there are things that get imprinted on your brain. They have to be washed out because the mind can reimagine things. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys know that you can visualize something you saw in a magazine or something like that and become sexually stimulated and sexually aroused? You know what I'm talking about? And how did that get, and actually leads you to lust and perversion? How'd that get in there? Well, you put it in there. So you actually hurt yourself. Somebody said, we're not hurting anybody. Well, you're hurting yourself. And you're breaking your covenant with your wife. Amen. And if you're not married, you're sinning against your future spouse. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you one thing. We've in counseling married couples, in fact, we actually now bring it up in premarital counseling, and we say, listen, we don't want to embarrass you. Our purpose is not to, because this is just to help you. It's not. I don't care personally. In fact, personally, I do not want to know. But because of all the stuff we've had to help people through, we're going to ask you, and we might take the guy, I might take the guy separate, and my wife take the girl, the lady, you know, if it's premarital counseling, and ask her separate, have you been sexually abused, or have you been involved of any of these kind of perversions? And somebody said, well, it's not your business. Well, they've come to us to help them in their marriage, and if that got in, that will affect your sex life. We have counseled women who went to consummate the marriage in the act of sex and started screaming and couldn't do it. Because the things that got in the past came back right at that moment and just were haunting them. Maybe sexual abuse from their father. You know what I'm talking about? You know, for these perversions get in. The devil's after our young people today. And he's after them younger and younger. And that's why we've got so much, you know, sexual perversion, sexual abuse. I don't even know these terms, where incest, I guess, is the word, where there's a father or something like that abusing little girls. Well, that's sinning against her, and it's sinning against her future mate, who she's going to be trying to consummate the marriage and, you know, start screaming or something. These things are real. These are not just, well, I forgave them. Yeah, I know, but the devil, you got to get some of that stuff washed out of the water, by the water of the word. You got to get it washed out of your mind, because the devil's right there. He wants to remind you of all that and bring those images back. Good preaching, Pastor Jay. See, we don't get this graphic in church sometimes, but it's got to be said. So we'll bring it up. I said, I tell the guys, I personally don't want to know. In fact, I don't even like doing it, but I love you enough to try to get some of these things, you know, help you in this before it ever comes up. I'd rather save my time and just do it right now rather than have to do it for 5 weeks in a row, you know, coming up after the marriage. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen. Now, having said all of that, go to 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. We're talking about situational ethics. People in the world, they say, "Well, if you're not really hurting anybody, and if it's love, if it's because you love somebody and you're living in immorality, well, if it's love, you know, how can it be wrong?" Well, look at this verse, 2 Samuel, in chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3. This is after David had committed immorality with Bathsheba. You remember that? God sent the prophet Nathan to him, and he's gave him this little parable, you know, about a man that had a bunch of sheep, but he stole another man's sheep and offered it for a sacrifice. What ought to be done with that man? And David, you know, he stuck his finger out, got mad, and said, "That man ought to die." And Nathan said, "You're the man." Because remember, he stole another man's wife. Yep. Bathsheba was another man's wife. And then notice verse number 3. That's the beginning of the story. But look at verse number 13, actually. You can just skip over there. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against Bathsheba." Huh? Who has he sinned against? "I've sinned against the Lord." Somebody said, "Well, it's not hurting anybody. It's not sin, is it?" Well, it is hurting people. Let's take, for example, the internet. Some girl, you know, perverting herself to make money because she doesn't think she can make money any other way or something, whatever the reason is, or prostituting herself, whatever. By paying for that, you're helping her, you know, reinforcing that bondage in her life. You're actually hurting her. I mean, situational ethics just don't fly with me or with God. But on top of all that, you're sinning against God. That's what this verse says. David didn't say, "I've sinned against Bathsheba," although he did. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against his own wife. He sinned against God. But that was the main thing he was saying, "I sinned against God." So tell your neighbor, we don't subscribe to situational ethics. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to hold the standard of the Word of God. Jesus was addressing this idea of, you know, well, if we're not hurting anybody, I mean, if we're not hurting anybody, or if it's love, then what can be wrong with it? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 5, I don't remember the verse, I've got it here somewhere in front of me, but yeah, here it is, Matthew 5, 28, he said, people say, you know, don't commit adultery. He said, I say, if you look on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Isn't that right? So, and we're going to talk about that because, and I don't think we're going to get to it here this morning, but we're going to talk more about that because he's saying it's sin. Even when it wasn't acted on outwardly. You understand? In other words, these things that we allow ourselves to ponder on and allow lust to dominate us, he said, even though we don't act on it, he said, that's sin. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. That doesn't sound like situational ethics, does it? So, praise God. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're different. We're transformed. Not conformed to this world. We're different. We're transformed. And, you know, people have gone in the ditch on both sides. They've gone into the world and looked just like the world. Or then they've gone the other side and they said, well, we're supposed to be separate from the world. So they go live in a convent or a monastery or something like that. Well, how are you going to fulfill, be the salt of the earth by completely separating ourselves, you know? Keeping ourselves. No, Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And he prayed for us in John 17. He said, Lord, he said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that they would be kept from the evil. You understand? And so what he's talking about is through sanctification. He wants us to be the light of the world, be in this world where there's all this stuff all around us, but live differently and separate ourselves from it and be the light of the world. You know what I'm talking about? And show that there is a power that can keep you and I free from these things. Amen. So really, God doesn't want us to be isolated. He wants us to be insulated, if you know what I mean by that. And so I want to look at a couple of verses this morning that as far as being clean sexually, you're going to have to tap into a power greater than yourself. You know what I mean by that? In other words, you can't control your flesh by efforts of the flesh. We've all tried that. Basically, that's going back under the law. That's what the law was. The law of Moses was a... Really, God said he set it up so he could show man he can't do it on his own power. He needed a redeemer. But the law of Moses was put up to show man, look, by efforts of the flesh, you cannot stop this sin nature. It's deeper than just something learned. It is a nature that has to be fixed. And that's what the new birth is all about. Gives us a new nature. But we still, that's our spirits. Our bodies still have the nature of sin. Our bodies, your body, my body, can do the same thing today any old sinner out there can do. Said, Pastor, I've heard all this before. I know, so have I. Amen. But we're going to have to do something to be different. And we can't do it in our own power. The flesh doesn't have the power. You know, just saying, I'm going to, through grit, I'm just going to stop this. Well, you ever tried that? That doesn't work. On top of that, willpower is not enough. You can't just will to make a change. Sometimes when you're dealing with spiritual forces, you got to apply the power of God in order to change these things. And, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you know, goodness, temperance, so forth. And one of them is temperance, which means self-control. But he said that's a fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say that ability is in you or my flesh or in you and my will or something like that. Now, I'm all for, you know, because we've got to set our will to walk in the Spirit, all right. But right on the other hand, it's going to take more than willpower. It's going to have to be the power of temperance. And that needs to, that's in our spirit. That's the fruit of our spirit. And that's going to have to be fed in order to enable us to walk free from this perversion and stuff. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I want you to look at some verses with me along this line that talk about being clean through the Word. Let's go first of all to Psalm 119. And we'll read verses 9 through 11. This passage is all about the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 119. I think every verse has something in it about the Word or His commandments or something like that. But Psalm 119, starting in verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" I don't think there's any doubt that he's talking about sexually here. You know. Then he said, here's how. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Amen. "By taking heed thereto in according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Well, David's the one writing. He's the one that said when he committed sin with Bathsheba, it was sin against the Lord. So he said, this is how I got free from that, was by hiding his word in my heart. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, I like it. I like it. I like it. There's power in the word to set us free from the images that got printed in there, from the lust that tries to control us. There's a you know the verse, Ephesians, what is it, 5, I'm looking for it, I got it right here somewhere in front of me. It talks about the washing of the water of the word. Anybody got the reference in front of you? The washing of the water of the word. There's a purifying effect that the word can have on you and wash those things out of your soul and out of your mind. Ephesians 5:26, thank you. And listen, if you have been in the past, if you've been bound by some of this and these images, in fact the very shape of a woman starts lust, causing you to lust, then you need washed. Now, I'm not speaking that down to you. I was in that place. I had to be washed. And the only thing I found to do it was the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, John 15:3, Jesus said, "You're clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you." How about being clean from lust or washed from these wrong images in our that were burning our minds? "You're clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you." Amen. James 1:21, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." I mean, we used to read that and think, oh, that's just King James English. How about naughtiness? We know what naughtiness is, you naughty boy, you. You know, "filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." Woo! That's so. That's the mind, will, and emotions. There's a saving of your soul, a restoring of your soul, that can happen through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now look at Psalm 101. I want you to get these down in your notes. We're going to look at Psalm 101 in verse number 3. Psalm 101, verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Look at that. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Well, praise the Lord. Say that out loud. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Well, some women are innocent and so forth. Now, some of them aren't, but Some women are innocent, but the wickedness is in our mind. Or in our eyes. The lust is in our eyes. Praise God. Well, I don't know how this is going to... Some of you aren't quite liking it, but... Hallelujah. We got to bring these things out into the light. Stop acting like nobody's dealing with it. Praise the Lord. Men are stimulated by their eyes. Amen. It's all true. And every honest man here will admit it. Amen. And every honest man here will admit that he knows how to basically, if you could say it this way, see right through a woman's clothes. He can undress her even though she's dressed. And see where you know, how she looks. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'll come back there and prophesy to you and tell you all about your life. Amen. Jesus was talking about this when he said looking with lust. Now, that doesn't mean you can't look at a lady. But, I mean, you know, just, you're talking to a lady, you got to look. But I'm not, but just look from the neck up. You know what I'm talking about? That darting of the eyes, you know, that, you, bam, get a hold of yourself. Praise the Lord. So there's a, you can look at somebody and not lust after them. I mean, you must be able to, because Jesus said if you look with lust, you must be able to look without it. Amen. And you can imagine what she'd be like in bed. If you're not careful, your mind will go there in a split second. Amen. Amen. It's uncontrolled thought life is what it is. And it's really connected to the eyes. I'm going to get into that some more as we go here. But it's these things that go through our eye gate get imprinted on our imagination. Especially if you were in pornography or exposed to pornography at a young age. In those formative years, even scientists have proven in those formative years, those images that were printed, if they're printed on there, it will create... Well, they don't use this term, but this is the term of the Bible. It will create what's called in the Bible an iniquity. A transgression in the Bible is something that a man fell into maybe once or twice or something, and he gets back out of it and quits. An iniquity is a bondage that somebody falls into repeatedly, and it is controlling them. The world calls it an addiction. An addictive behavior. And scientists have proven that pornography is as addictive and even maybe sometimes more so than drugs. It actually does something in the brain. You know what I'm talking about? And any honest man here knows what I'm talking about. And you can look at somebody, maybe they're not unholy themselves. Maybe they are. There's plenty of unholy women around. But I know some of you are shocked that I'm getting so blunt, but it's the truth. I think some of them are stupid, but some of them know exactly what they're doing. When the skirt's up here and the blouse is down here, they know exactly. See, it's all about control with them. I said it's all about control. They think that I can get any man I want. I can get the man with the money. I can choose the man with the money. I can get what I want. I'm not saying all of them are that way, but many of them know exactly what they're doing. And it's a pretty small little man that lets a piece of meat like that control him. We ought to be real men, you know what I'm talking about? Under control of our faculties and our eyes and our mind and our imagination. And we just don't go there about how she would be in bed or whatever the... Come on now, I know some of you are shocked, but we're going to shock you even more if you don't run off. These are all, listen to me, these are all fantasies. Go over to Ephesians. I was in Psalm 101. We already read that. Go to Ephesians here. Chapter number 2. If you'll shout amen real loud, we'll think it's not you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now listen, let me say something before we go any further, because people can take this wrong and get into all kinds of bondage about it. There's a difference between lust and actually yielding to it. How many of you were here a number of times ago when we had the Men of Honor Conference and we talked about practicing the bounce? I mean, when your eyes, because, I mean, you can't go through this life. I mean, it might be daily, maybe not every day, but almost every day. You can't go through this life either because of advertising or something that half-unclothed women are presented in front of you. You know what I'm talking about? And that you haven't sinned just because that came somehow. Now, if you went and looked for it on purpose, that's different. But you know what I mean? Sometimes advertising or something. And so you have to do what I called in that session, practice the bounce. I mean, when your eyes fall on it, practice just bouncing and looking somewhere else. Bouncing the eyes. Amen. Because to indulge yourself for a second or two, that's whenever it becomes sin. Yeah, 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 yeah. If I was in Nigeria, they'd be going. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth. Praise the Lord. And so a lot of times here in Ephesians chapter 2, notice what it says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. That means made spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, talking to us as believers. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now notice, he went from walked according to the course of this world to saying we were under the prince of the power of the air. People think, well, it's just the world. No, there's a demon spirit behind all this. He even goes on and says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know, there's different levels of demonic bondage. We've seen people oppressed and mad and crazy and wild. And I mean, you know, but he's just saying everyone in the world, and there's another verse in 1 John says same thing. Everyone in the world is under the wicked one, the Greek actually says. So here he's talking about that. He said, that's where we used to be. Among whom, verse 3, among whom we also had. That means past tense. Our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Now notice then, he breaks this lust of the flesh down into two categories. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's one category of the flesh is lust. And of the mind. And we're by nature, that's talking about the spiritual nature, spiritual death, the children of wrath, that's in their spirits, even as others. So in their nature, that's the spirit of man, but he mentions the flesh lusts and the mind's lusts. You see that? In 1 John, I don't want you to lose your place in Ephesians because I want to hold that thought for a minute. But in 1 John, chapter number 2, he talks about all that is in the world. And he says, in verse number 16, well, let's go back to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, now he's going to say what he means by love not the world. All that is in the world, and here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. So notice, he mentions the lust of the flesh, but then he also mentions the lust of the eyes. Your eyes have lust. There's things it likes to look at. Part of your fleshly nature. I mean, the part that's not redeemed. And then he comes over here in verse, this is chapter 2 of Ephesians, and he said, he breaks the categories of the flesh down into two areas. The flesh, the lust of the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So there's two categories. The flesh has appetites that are against God. If you look up the word lust, it means a desire for that which is forbidden by God. God says that I don't want you to do this. This is wrong. This is unholy. Well, I don't agree with God. Well, then you got to have to stand before Him then. He's the one that made us. He's the one that has the right to tell us. He's the one that redeemed us. Praise God. He knows what's right and wrong. And He's telling us. And then He said, there's lust of your flesh and there's lust of your mind. So the flesh's lust include the lust of our eyes. But then He said there's even something more than that. It's the lust of the mind. Your mind has desires to imagine things and think about things that are forbidden. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the devil's desire is to keep all this hidden. Because when it's in the mind and in the imaginations, people can't see it. You know what I'm talking about? So therefore, the devil wants to keep this all secret. Because when it's secret and hidden, then he can perpetuate a bondage. But if it comes out and is exposed, well, then you're confronted with it and you're going to have to deal with it. I'm sure, in fact, I know, that there are people that, well, I know that there are people that, well, that conference isn't for me. They said that. That conference isn't for, that Men of Honor conference isn't for me. Because their wife told them, you better go, because I'm about to kick you out of the house. For these very reasons. Well, that conference isn't for me. What he's saying is, bringing it out in the open isn't for me. Confronting it isn't for me. I'd rather just have this secret bondage. Well, except it's destroying his soul. It's destroying his marriage. His wife's about to kick him out. Amen. That's a lie of the devil. The devil wants us to act like it's not wrong or just... No, get it out. I don't mean stand up here in this service and say, I've been doing this. Not, but find somebody to be accountable to. Amen. And I'll tell you, the very best person is your wife. Amen. Oh, God in heaven, I can't do that. Well, then you can't be free. How much time do we have to endure this, Pastor? Well, it's raining anyway. You may as well not. May as well just stay in here. Getting hot in here, huh? Maybe we'll roll up the tent side. Amen. What is an imagination? Remember, go over here to 2 Corinthians. Remember he said here, lust of the mind? Go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice something. We're teaching these things which you've heard taught before, but we're teaching it along this line of the area of lust. 2 Corinthians 10, notice it says in verse number 3. Well, let's go back to verse number 2, the end of the verse. No, let's just read verse 2. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning we're down here in physical bodies, we do not war after the flesh. How many of you know this thing is a warfare going on in our lives? This is a battle going on. We do not war after the flesh. In other words, he goes on, explains that a little bit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not natural, not physical. But, he said, they are mighty. We've already given you a couple of them. The Word of God is what purges us and cleanses us from this. The Word of God is one of our main weapons. They are mighty through God to the pulling down, look at this, of strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought. So we've got thoughts, imaginations, strongholds mentioned in this passage. Isn't that right? So all of those are in the mind or the soul of a man. Women too, but you know what I'm talking about. And what he's talking about is the progression, thoughts unchecked or uncontrolled turn into imaginations, and imaginations that are not dealt with turn into strongholds. And we're not talking about strongholds up in the heavenlies. We're talking about between the ears. Amen. And I'll tell you, many men have strongholds in this area. What is a stronghold? It's something that's overpowering you. It doesn't have more power than the greater one in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But yet they're yielding to it, and it has overcome them. And now they'll say things like, well, I just can't control this. It's just overpowering me. I mean, you know, I decide I'm not going to do it anymore, and before I know it, there I'm doing it again. That's what the Bible calls an iniquity. You follow me? It's not something that happens once or twice. It's an iniquity. It's, in other words, it's the world calls it an addictive behavior. It's gotten in the man's soul and is controlling him. And if without doing something with the word, that iniquity or that bondage will stay there for the rest of their lives. People might not even know it. You understand? Because it's something on the inside that maybe he's not even acting upon. But it's a stronghold nevertheless. He cannot keep from looking at a woman. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you amen, we've talked about this before. Driving down the road in a jogger and short shorts, jogging, you know. Well, what are we going to do about it? Bounce. Bounce. There's a pretty maple tree. This is October. That sure is pretty. Amen. I like that house over there. That front porch is pretty cool. I like that little fence they got over there on that front. Get a hold of yourself. What if your wife was sitting there looking right at you to see what you're going to do, you know? Oh, my. Yeah, who said oh, my? Praise the Lord. These are all, and what we're doing is we're feeding that lust. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And we're feeding it into our imaginations. And I'm telling you what, you can wake up in the middle of the night having a dream about what you saw, and here you are having a wet dream. Pastor said it, yeah. There ain't a guy here in the world, there ain't a guy in the world that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Get your hankies out now, because we're going to get... Amen. Praise God. How much longer do we have to go here? What time did I start? About 9:15 or something? 10:12. I started at 10:12. It's 10:12 right now. Did you follow the progression? Lust was fed, yielded to. It was the lust of the flesh, and it was the lust of the eyes, and it got into your imagination. And listen, there's something about those things that your mind over long periods of time can vividly recreate that picture. And you can get sexually stimulated by it. It's all true. Praise the Lord. I mean, not praise the Lord, but praise the Lord, there's freedom from that. Our minds have to be washed from these things. It's just like the music you used to listen to, probably some of you. If you're like me, I listened to real hard rock when I was out in the world. And every now and then, so many of those things are gone. I mean, those lyrics and those beats and everything, and I can barely even remember any of them. But every now and then, one will keep trying to come back. You know what I'm talking about? But you got to answer those things and speak the word to yourself. Amen. So, but what these things lead to, if you don't control a look, then it'll become a gaze. And when it becomes a gaze, it gets in and becomes an imagination. You'll start imagining things about her, what she looks like unclothed, what she would be like in bed. Listen, and here's a bondage. Your wife, because of these things, no longer stimulates you, so you have to reimagine that in order to have sex with her. I know what I'm talking about because I counsel with people over and over and over again. That's sin against your wife. Don't come up and talk to me about you and your wife's sex life. I don't want to hear about it. You know? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's tight, but it's right. So a look becomes a gaze. A gaze becomes an imagination. And then it leads to more feeding of that lust, like pornography. And the imaginations can lead to fantasies. Now, notice he said there in Ephesians, he said, talks about the lust of the mind. One of the forbidden desires of the mind is to fantasize about something, although, you know, a good Christian man would never do it. That's what we're saying. Well, I would never do it, but we fantasize about doing it. You know what? Things like, you know, there's a lot more perverted stuff than soap operas nowadays, but you know what soap operas are? People that watch soap operas, they might not do it, but they sure enjoy fantasizing about doing it. You know? A one-night stand or something like that. Well, glory. Hallelujah. And that fantasy can lead to an affair. It can, you know, that which is sex outside of marriage. It can also, you've seen more and more of this in our society lately, sexual violence. These people that are become predators and wait on jogging trails for some woman that's jogging or something, and they attack them, and then rape them, and sometimes in order to try to hide it, kill them. Now, that's becoming an epidemic in our culture. I'll guarantee you there's a man that went through this progression that I'm talking about and didn't stop it all the way back at a look. Or I'll tell you another way that perversion gets started. They were abused as a little boy, sexually abused, or some pervert raped them or something. Or the other side, girls, you know, get raped. And a root of immorality gets in. It's become, and the devil keeps feeding that, and they keep yielding to that, and it becomes this perversion. Nobody just wakes up and finds themselves raping somebody and murdering them to cover it up. That started way back, somewhere in that man's mind, who knows how long ago. Amen? And, you know, in the seventh chapter, we'll start wrapping this up here in a little bit, but in the seventh chapter of Romans, the 15th, verse, let's just go over there actually. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul describes what we call addictive behavior. Romans 7, verse number 15. That which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that do I. He's talking about being bound by sin. You know, especially that last part, that which I hate, that do I. You ever found yourself falling into, you know, internet pornography or something like that and then hate yourself for it? I hate this. But next week you might do it again. I'm not prophesying to you, but these are like addictive behaviors. Isn't that right? So this is the, you know, the Bible talks about this. The world calls it addiction. It becomes the Bible word for it is an iniquity or a stronghold. We've seen those words, right? And so, you know, we haven't wanted to bring this up in church. We've tiptoed around it. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that if you lose your integrity, because people, the reason we tiptoe around it sometimes makes people uncomfortable. But if you lose your integrity, you're going to be more uncomfortable when your wife finds out, when your children find out their daddy's a pervert, and you know what I'm talking about. And it wasn't worth it. Causes all kinds of problems. Over in the book of the Proverbs, David addressed that over and over again with Solomon. He said, you'll lose your honor, you'll lose the respect other people have for you, and so forth and so on. Well, Hebrews 1:9, the Bible says, Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So we're going to have to hate this kind of bondage to lust enough to address it head on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we're just going to do that in this conference and learn to control our eyes and starve lust out. I've had people say to me, now listen to me. This is how deceptive this thing is. They said, I've been starving this out, and I've become afraid I'm actually losing my personality. I'm becoming a different person. I said, listen, honey, you got to lose that one.
Yeah.
That part of it.
Yeah.
It was so much a part of them, they thought it was their personality.
Yeah.
It's not your personality.
Yeah,
it's something from the outside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're glad you came this morning?
Yes,
let's take control of our eyes.
Amen.
Let's bounce them. Let's look at a couple more verses. Where did I put my list of? I put this here somewhere up front. Where did I put them? We gave a couple of verses. Let's talk a little bit about some verses on the eyes. This is Job 31, verse number 1. I already gave you Psalm 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Look at Job 31, verse number 1. Now, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. Amen. Say that. I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes in this conference. Not to look with lust at a young woman. Amen. 27, this is in Proverbs 27, verse number 20. It says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. You got to ask yourself the question, if I look, is that going to satisfy me? No, I'm going to want to look again and again and again and again. And when is this going to be over? The answer the devil has that for you is never. So you're going to have to decide, I'll not be satisfied even if I do look. So if I'm never going to be satisfied, just stop trying to satisfy it. Does that make sense? That's the way I think. Am I going to actually, break down in a mental breakdown if I don't get satisfied with my eyes? No, I'm not going to go crazy. The flesh wants to tell you if you don't get some of that, you're going to be deprived in life. No, you're not. You will never be satisfied. Well, I don't know if some of you are thinking about it, but I like 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. You got to just crucify this thing daily. Then James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. In other words, yielding to this causes something to die. Your fellowship with God, the clearness of your conscience, your faith working properly. You know what I'm talking about? Whether you realize it or not, something's dying in your own marriage. You may still be married, but something's dying, So, hallelujah. Now, I'll just give you the rest of these, and then we'll close for this session. 1 John 2, 16 and 17. I already read it to you. All that's in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And then 1 Peter 1:13, we're going to get into this more. 1 Peter 1:13, in the next session. But this is the verse that the Lord, this is where, this is one of the verses the Lord started taking me to when he was working on me to get me free from some of this stuff. Say free.
Free,
free is a good word, isn't it? 1 Peter 1, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's the part that stood out to me. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, gird up the loins means to put a garment around your body. But the loins are more specific than just, you know, your chest, your arms, your shoulders, or whatever.
Yeah.
Your loins are actually the reproductive part. Isn't that right? And what he's saying is, your mind, listen to me, your mind can reproduce just like your loins can reproduce.
Right. Yeah.
The loins of your mind.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about whenever I said, you can see an image and it's burning there, and that image can be, your mind can show you videos for years to come of the things you saw. Isn't that right? And so he's telling us, gird up your loins of your mind. In other words, control your thought life. We'll get into that one more. There's a whole lot more into that one. And then, Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction never full, the eyes are never satisfied. So those are some verses. There's other ones we're going to look at. But put those in your spiritual arsenal and make those confessions. I have made a covenant with my eyes, Job said. I'll set no unclean thing before my eyes. I won't look with lust on a young woman. And remind yourself of that daily. Because we get into a habit of just forgetting, not thinking about it, and we fall. But we have the power of the greater one in us to help us stop doing that. Amen? Everybody still love Pastor Jay?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. There's things that I think need to be said in settings like this. And we want to be men of honor and men that aren't. I would say this. Men that are holy and clean are men of honor. And not just holy whenever everybody else is watching. You know what I'm talking about? But we're clean whenever nobody else is watching. Real true character and living honorably is how we live when nobody else is around. Amen. And we just keep our mind and our eyes and so forth in the right place, as if our wife was sitting right there.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we bow our heads before you in your presence. We thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet, Father. It directs us in paths of righteousness. It restores our soul. It washes us, it cleanses us, it purges our conscience. Father, we thank you for each one of these men here today. Thank you that they have the strength of spirit to confront these things head on and deal with their own selves, deal with their own eyes, their own flesh. Father, thank you that you've made freedom available for every single one of us. We decide to live free. We decide, Father, to be men of honor. Honorable before you, honorable before our spouses or our future spouses. And Father God, we thank you for the greater one, the power of the greater one living on the inside of us that makes us well able to rule and reign over every lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Say this out loud. I am
a man of honor.
I am a man that's clean.
And
I keep myself clean.
I judge myself.
In fact, stand with me to your feet. Lift up your hands. Say, I judge myself. And I receive cleansing of the blood of Jesus right now from all uncleanness of my past. I thank you, Father. You're a holy God. Your Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And I choose to be holy and live right. Thank you for the greater one in me. And the power of the control of temperance. I yield to temperance. And make it
the power
to overcome in my life. I don't trust myself. I trust the greater one in me. His power is how I overcome. Hallelujah. I walk in the Spirit, and I set my eyes on no unclean thing. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor, I'm not free. Well, the Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We really are free. Even if we have yielded, we're free. We don't have to yield to that. Hallelujah. We've got to begin to say we're free, even calling things that be not as though they are. When we say, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I'm free from this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.